Jenny came through this morning with the music and the amplifier, and we're very grateful for that. Our speaker this morning is Becky Steven. Becky is the director of the University Link. We had this conversation ongoing about whether they're going to Dubai would preclude her speaking, but here she is. Welcome.
I should have refrained. I picked it, I'm sorry. You know, as a kid, I always felt like I was born 10 years too late. If I'd been born in 1946, I'd have been in college when the 60s happened. I wanted to protest the Vietnam War, or be a feminist advocate, or a Nader Raider, or demonstrate for civil rights. Even at a very young age, I longed for a cause, a big purpose to give my life to, something radical, society-altering, world-shattering. But I was born 10 years too late for that. I went on my first intervarsity retreat in the mountains of New Mexico in the fall of 1978. And we spent the whole weekend inductively studying the book of Ephesians. It blew my mind. Scripture came alive to me in a way that it had never done before. And God, He came alive to me too, through the scriptures and in the community of believers that I found myself in InterVarsity. That weekend changed my whole life. And since then, Ephesians has been my favorite book of the Bible. To the praise of His glory has been my theme, and immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine has been my prayer. But back then, as a junior at the University of New Mexico, I had no idea what I was asking for. It was while I was in college, through my InterVarsity staff worker, who opened up the scriptures for me in mind-altering ways, and rocked my worldview with His theological questions, that God showed me His identity and mine as a missionary. Taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, I mean, how much more radical and world-shattering could you be? And that call that came to me so very clearly in New Mexico in 1979 has shaped my life and my choices since then. In 1979, I went to my first Urbana. And not only did God use that time to reconfirm my call to missions there, but I heard missionaries who told stories that captured the imaginations and hearts of us students. I experienced Bible expositors who opened a door for us into the heart of God for the world. And I listened to powerful teachers who, by sharing their stories, inspired us to do things we'd never even dreamed of in order to make Jesus known in the world. And it was there that I first thought, I not only want to be a world-changing missionary, but I'm a little embarrassed to admit in front of the Urbana director that it was there that I also thought I wanted to be an Urbana speaker. Urbana has always been so much larger than life, so critical to what's happening in the world, so big. And being an Urbana speaker, well, that seemed like something immeasurably more than I could ask for or imagine, just like it says in Ephesians, until Urbana 03. I was there again at Urbana, standing in worship with nearly 20,000 other followers of Jesus, and God spoke to me again, like He's done at every Urbana I've been to. Suddenly, I felt myself lifted high above the auditorium, above the campus, until that huge building looked like a very tiny, tiny building with all of us as teeny, tiny specks of light. That was really freaky. Not only because, well, that's just a weird experience, but because from that vantage point, what had in the past seemed so very big was suddenly so very small. We were singing, "Ask and I'll give the nations to you. Oh Lord, that's the cry of my heart." And as I looked around at how very small we were there, I couldn't sing that song. I realized that that was not the cry of my heart anymore. And as someone called to missions as the director of Link, I felt really, really guilty about that. So right there in that crowded mothership of the University of Illinois, I asked the Lord to give me a cause, a renewed sense of calling, something really big to give my life to. And in that very big crowd of tiny people, in that great big small event we call Urbana, God answered in a way beyond my imagination. He said to me, "Your dreams are not big enough. The world is too small a goal for you. I am the only thing big enough to aspire to long for, to live for. Dream of me." This past year, I was given the gift of a sabbatical. Don't wait 28 years to take one. I went expecting it to be about preparation for a better ministry in InterVarsity when I came back. And I began the sabbatical by asking God to confirm the calling he'd given me to Link, to renew the vision he'd given me for what Link should become. But he refused. He insisted that I let go of my purposes for sabbatical and my plans for the future and just be with him. That was really hard work for me. Last winter, when God made it clear that he was calling Roy and I out of InterVarsity, I thought, well, okay, now give us big plans for a future ministry. So I began to scan the horizon, looking for a big cause that could capture my imagination and be worth all the risks that God is inviting us to as we leave InterVarsity. But it's not been there. No big plans for ministry, no strategy for social change, no cosmic anything. Just God, plain as day, saying, "Here I am. Follow me." That's really scary. But that's the very God I saw in Ephesians. It's the same word that God spoke to me at Urbana 03. A vision of the bigness of God, the purpose of being his, the world-shattering reality of the love of God for us. The call to let go of former dreams and aspirations, to just release everything that seems very important to me, even gifts and visions and callings, things that he'd given me in the past for his good purposes, just to be for the praise of his glory. Empty-handed, so that I can hold on to him. Everything behind us and nothing in front of us except for God. Last winter, I prayed another prayer. I didn't know what I was talking about. I started praying from Psalm 89:15 that I would learn to walk in the light of God's presence. During a chapel that Karen Morton spoke at a few months ago, she led us into 5 minutes of silence, and it was during those 5 minutes that I understood the frightening reality of what I'd been praying for, but it was too late to take it back. Sure, I said I wanted to learn to walk in the light of God's presence, but what I really meant was, God, just shine a light in front of me so I can plan my next steps. Give me something I can see so I know I'm heading in the right direction. Make the future plain so I can adjust my expectations and make good decisions. What I really wanted, I see now, was not to walk in the light of God's presence, but to have God shine a big beam of light down the road so I could step into something that I judged as worthwhile, so that I can move in the direction of his will or my destiny or significant purpose. But God doesn't want to just give me his will or significant purpose. He wants to give me himself. So instead of light on the path ahead, what I got was God's light shining straight down on me, illuminating my pitiful condition, my inability to be still, my ineptness at intimacy. I was panicking to see something in front of me, but it was useless because it was dark. And I began to strain to focus on the things that were behind me. That was useless too. It's dark back there. What's past is past, and the future is a mystery. And I realized that if I want light, I have to look up. if I will just lift my head and refocus my eyes on light rather than on the darkness, I can see something far, far bigger than I'd imagined. I see God's love surrounding me, His mercy poured out on me, His hand holding on to me, His face smiling on me as a mother smiles on her child, not for what the kid can do, but for the sheer joy of the relationship. And I can see, at least for a little while, if I keep my eyes open, that it's not some grand plan or meaningful cause or revolutionary calling that's my destiny. It's God. Sure, we have to ask God for everything that we long for. Ask Him for the world. But then trust Him to do way more for you and your families, your coworkers, your supervisors, InterVarsity, this city, the world, than you can ever ask or imagine. And know that God wants to give you far more than all of that. Because the world and everything in it is too small for you who are the body of Christ. This past Sunday, I went to church on overload, numb, unable to think or feel or pray, unable to connect with God in ways that I'm used to through music and scripture. All I could do was just stand there, trying to go through the motions. But I knew it was okay with God. He knows. And as we sang, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see you," God knew that I wanted that to be true. But as we sang, I began to mourn leading Madison, wondering what work of God I'm going to miss out on here. And as we continued to sing, "I want to see you," I cried to God to give me eyes to see Him in Dubai. And unexpectedly, in my mind's eye, I did see God. He began to rise up in front of me. And I thought, well, maybe in answer to my prayer, God is going to show me Himself over Dubai. But what I saw was something more than what I could imagine and more than I asked for. As God became bigger and bigger and bigger in front of me, filling my whole field of vision, I heard Him say, "I am big enough. I am big enough. I'm big enough, Becky." And I remembered what God has continued to tell me since that weekend in the mountains of New Mexico, that my life, all that's past and everything that lays ahead is ultimately not about a big cause or a cosmic purpose or even the transformation of people and places. All of that is too small of a thing for those of us who were loved by God. When InterVarsity has gone the way of all organizations, when vision pales, when personal aspirations wane, when causes have passed away, when your ability to think or serve or pray or perform fail, when the former things no longer satisfy, God and His love remains. So, my brothers and sisters, set your course not by needs that you know they'll never cease, not by issues that will change, not by your vocational aptitude, which is short-lived, not even by a missional calling, but look up into the light. Listen to the words of our brother Paul in the Message version of Ephesians 3. "This is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise, God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all of this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. All this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed in Christ Jesus. When we trust in Him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. So don't let my present trouble on your behalf get you down. Be proud. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father, who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly in love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives full of the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in Jesus. Glory down through all generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer. I'm going to lead you through a few questions for you to discuss with God. So let's pray. What is it you really want, really? What would you ask God for if you weren't afraid or if you really believe Jesus when He says, "Ask anything in my name and I will give it"? Tell that to Jesus. What are you imagining? What are your hopes and your dreams? Open those up for God to see. What does God have to say or show you? Let's give Him a few minutes of our focused attention to His presence and His voice right now, letting Him speak to us. Lord, we look to You not just to fulfill all of our dreams and prayers, but to become the one that we dream about. to become the fulfillment of everything that we long for. Today, won't you be big enough for us in our work and in our relationships, in our thoughts and the intentions of our heart? Won't you be big enough for all of our brothers and sisters on campuses in the U.S. and around the world today, giving them a vision of you, calling them to yourself, giving us all what we need to look up into your light and be satisfied. Amen.
Thank you. Your story has enriched us in your transparency and vulnerability. Are there introductions or announcements for today for the community? Pamela.
Ralph and Betty Thomas celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary on March 28th, and they didn't have a celebration because Betty was recovering from the cancer treatment. So they're going to have a celebration in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be able to be there because I already had a trip planned out to Seattle and Olympia. So I'm taking photo of them with a mat around it that people here can sign. Gary Nauman is helping put that together. So that will be here in the lunchroom by tomorrow. And I encourage folks just to write a brief message or just to sign their name, well wishes to them for their 50 years of marriage. And thank you very much.
Helen?
Whether you know or not, the Performance Cafe for the Arts Festival is on July 16th. And as part of the Performance Cafe, all of you culinary artists, those who love to bake, cook, host, and entertain, are welcome to show off your talent by bringing your favorite, most famous recipe to share with our community during that time. There will be a sign-up sheet eventually, within the next day or two, and so be looking out for that.
We have a ONS picnic this week, and this will be, I think, coming in the buzz, but there's just some questions. So there's a lot of words here. I'll read it. 11:45, lunch starts for our staff here at the service center. The food will be outside. 12:15, the first of three buses will arrive with new staff in the park. They'll be eating with us from 12:15 to 12:45. It's an opportunity for us to host these staff, talk with them, get to know them, ask them a little bit about, you know, where they're going, what they've been doing, that kind of thing. And then at 12:45, we should start moving into the building to be where we're going to be as the new staff start their tour. You may have heard the announcement about them having passports, and they'll be able to be stamped at each of our locations. So you want to be ready to do that. And at 3:15, the first bus leaves for downtown, and 3:45, approximately, the last bus leaves. It's a busy time. So this will appear, I think it's in the buzz, probably tomorrow, just so you have a sense of flow and you can talk with your own supervisor about responsibilities you have during the staff time here. Thank you. Any other announcements? Join me in praying.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forever.
Amen. Thank you.
Are they coming to use our desks again this year?
I haven't heard anything about that.
Usually they make phone calls here.
Yeah,